From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hi, everybody. Ryan Finley here. The following podcast deals with our ongoing series, Tidal Wave. To read every story in the series, visit Tucson.com. If you're interested in following further Title IX issues, follow the Star's Caitlin Schmidt on Twitter. She is at Caitlin C. Schmidt. You can email her at cschmidt@tucson.com. On with the show. Welcome to the Tidal Wave podcast. I'm Arizona Daily Star sports editor Ryan Finley, joined by Caitlin Schmidt. Caitlin is the author of our Tidal Wave series, which is running all week in the Arizona Daily Star and on Tucson.com. It's a collaboration both between the Arizona Daily Star and Solutions Journalism, and it will not only explain what's a little bit of a nebulous concept in Title IX, but delve into sort of why we care and which schools are doing it right. And in the first episode of our podcast here, I just want to get down to basics. Caitlin, tell me, what is Title IX?
So Title IX is a federal law passed in 1972, and it's both very vague and broad at the same time. So the law itself says no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance.
So this, I mean, this is the same Title IX that says if you have a women's golf team or a men's golf team, you need to have a women's golf team. It's a gender equity law that also comes into play when we talk about things like sexual assault, domestic violence, dating violence, things like that on campus, correct?
Yes. So Title IX, I mean, first and foremost, is designed to ensure that everybody has access to equal opportunity for education and nothing stands in the way of completing grade school, high school, college. It's applicable to all schools. So, I mean, for the first couple of decades, it really was focused on increasing opportunities for sports, but it kind of changed face, you know, along the way. And in 2011, we had President Obama at the time issued what was called the Dear Colleague Letter.
Right. The famous Dear Colleague Letter.
Dear Colleague Letter, which was multiple pages. It included a frequently asked questions section, but it basically provided schools with guidelines on how they should investigate and handle reports of sexual assault, domestic violence, that sort of thing, anything involving sexual misconduct.
Right, under Title IX.
Under Title IX.
Right. See, and that's what's so interesting to me is, I mean, this is, you just read the law to me. It's 3.5 lines long on a sheet of white paper. And yet the interpretation of it is very wide, and the implementation of it is incredibly costly.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Why do we care in Tucson and here at the Arizona Daily Star about Title IX?
It has been the focus of my work here for about the past year and a half, but its roots at the University of Arizona actually go back a few years ago to Elliot Pitts, the former basketball player.
Right.
He was not arrested or charged with a crime, but he was disciplined by the school for sexual misconduct. There was an issue of consent, sexual assault, and we learned about it after the fact, after he'd already left the school. But the discipline at that point kind of came into question. He was, I believe, suspended, but he was allowed to finish out the year before discipline was imposed.
Right. And Pitts underwent, and we'll read about some of this, a Title IX hearing. So it is not a legal hearing, but it's basically in front of a review board on campus.
Yeah.
Correct. And the difference between a Title IX hearing and, say, a trial in court is what?
Basically the standard of evidence that's used, essentially. So, you know, court is beyond a reasonable doubt, whereas Title IX is, you know, preponderance of evidence. So a lot of times you hear people say that Title IX, that sort of thing, is 50% and a feather. So you just need to be a little more sure than not.
Right. It's more likely than not to have happened, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so we had that with Pitts. And then it seemed as if, you know, a year or so, and we talked about Title IX and the implementation. And then it really came to a head here in the last year and a half, 2 years, talk a little bit about the issues that have cropped up at the U of A since.
So in the fall of 2016, we had Orlando Bradford, who was a Wildcats running back, who was arrested after practice on a Wednesday when his girlfriend at the time went to Tucson police and said that he had held her against her will and beat her repeatedly over the past few days. So he was arrested, promptly dismissed from the team, and the very next day we had a second woman come forward to say that he had done the exact same thing to her over several months. So that, you know, case kind of went as expected. He took a plea agreement and was sentenced to 5 years in prison. But days after he was sentenced, a federal lawsuit was filed against the University of Arizona by one of the victims, saying that they had knowledge that he was dangerous towards women but failed to take action. And at that point in time, we learned that 9 months before his arrest, a third woman had gone to University of Arizona campus police and said that he'd been outside her door harassing her the night before. But during that disclosure, she'd mentioned that he had been abusive, that he had hit her and choked her. And, you know, the UAPD officer that investigated this chalked it up to a tumultuous relationship between two students. He was issued a no-contact order by the school. They moved him off campus into a house with other football players, and then all of these events happened with the other women.
Right, and this is where Title IX comes in. It wasn't necessarily in the criminal charges at all, because he was kicked off the team and out of school because he was charged with that. But it was the lawsuit that stemmed from it. Basically, the Bradford's victim, and then joined by another woman, correct?
Yes, the second woman.
The second woman. Both said that the U of A violated Title IX, or violated the rights that they were entitled to under Title IX, because they were basically afraid for their safety on campus.
Right, correct? And that this should have never happened to them because the school knew about it and could have stopped it before they were even victimized, essentially.
Right. Wow.
And we've learned a lot through these lawsuits. The school's hands have really been tied. They can't talk about Title IX investigations. There's privacy laws that go into that, and they can't talk about anything that's pending in court,
right,
because it can, of course, be used against them. But we have been requesting transcripts from discovery dispute hearings and have gleaned all sorts of information. Initially, we learned that between January 1st of 2012 and December 31st of 2017, 16 members of the athletic department, including one employee, had been investigated for Title IX violations. And then just last month, we actually learned that that number was 27.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we found some specifics. We were able to request records involving the football team. We learned that, you know, 8 of those complaints came from the football team, and we turned up all sorts of reports. We had 3 allegations of domestic violence, 1 sexual harassment, 4 sexual assaults, and one of those sexual assaults was a group sexual assault.
Right.
It was pretty horrific.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the process has been really unusual, but I think there's great concern in the community now. We've been getting an overwhelming response from these articles, certainly.
Sure. And you went to, I mean, just recently, you went to a student debate on campus.
Yes.
Where, I mean, talk about that. Because to me, that really drove the point home.
Yeah, it was a Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, you know, not prime time for being out of the house, but
were you ever on campus at 7 at night when you were a student?
Not unless I had to be.
Exactly.
but we had, it was standing room only in this classroom. There were easily 110 people there, people sitting on the floor because there were no seats, to listen to 6 students debate Title IX and whether or not it should be used to handle misconduct on college campuses or whether there's a better way. And, you know, I'm sure some students were there for class, but there were students engaging the speakers afterwards. People got up to ask questions, you know, so I think there's a real genuine interest among campus and certainly our readers, too, as to what's happened in the past.
Sure. Well, and that's really what this project Tidal Wave is about. It's about how other schools throughout the country are taking their interpretation of this 3.5 line on a white sheet of paper law and making it work for their students. Take us through sort of what to expect both in the Star and on the podcast here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, so we have several stories coming up.
Tell them where you went. How about that?
Well, I got to go visit Baylor University, which I think, if you don't know Baylor for the David Koresh incident, you probably know it because of the sexual assault headlines that swirled just a couple years ago. Baylor had to implement massive, massive changes as a result of these allegations and the lawsuits that followed. But, you know, I learned that they're not just doing it because they have to anymore. They were the only school that actually let me come onto campus and set up meetings. But University of Oregon and University of Utah agreed to phone interviews. Oregon had its own scandal a couple of years ago with basketball players.
The Final Four season. Yeah.
Yes. Utah hasn't really made headlines, but, you know, we had some data to guide us. Utah had very low levels of complaints against athletes. Oregon had seen a spike and dropped their numbers. And, of course, you know, everyone knows what had happened at Baylor. So we got to talk to some schools that have experienced problems of their own to see what they've done as a result and how those changes are working.
Sure. And so we'll talk about not only what those schools are doing that works, we'll talk about what the U of A has planned. They have a new Title IX director. It sounds as if he has some big ideas about sort of how they're going to handle these issues in the future, correct?
Yes, yes. And he's already implemented some changes, and he's got some really bold ideas to take U of A, you know, he made it very clear that it's important to recognize what happened in the past and acknowledge it in order to fix it in the present and shape our future going forward. But
sure.
He's definitely committed to changing things much, much for the better.
Sure. There's lots to talk about when it comes to Title IX, and hopefully in our project Tidal Wave and in the accompanying podcast. You know, it's a difficult conversation to have, I think. We've read through some of the police reports and some of the things that they've made available. Some of it is really uncomfortable stuff, but I think it's important, and Caitlin, your work is very important in terms of discussing, I think, what's going to be one of the bigger sport, off-court or off-field sports issues of this generation.
Oh, thank you.
So join us on the next episode of the Tidal Wave podcast, where we'll talk about Caitlin's trip to Baylor, what she learned, what the university is doing, and how their reputation has been really transformed based on some common sense and some outside-the-box solutions. Thank you for listening. For Caitlin Schmidt, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.
Hi, Wildcaster fans. Come check out The Point Being, the Arizona Daily Star's opinion page podcast. We talk about current events, what's going on in the world, the letters page, and more. So check us out at thepointbeingpodcast.com.